Once again, our text is Romans 13, verses 1 to 7. I encourage you to have that open before you this afternoon as we'll be looking at that in relation to Belgian Confession, Article 36. Dear congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, liars, cheats, power hungry, and full of corruption. It's often the way that society labels politicians and anyone who is in authority. And because of this, there is a temptation for us as the church to be bitter towards those over us and to be disrespectful. We could very easily join the world's jeers here in our own church foyer or in our consistory room or at Tim Hortons when we're with our friends. How does God's Word address these matters? What does it say about the government and their responsibility before God? And how are we to respond to those in authority? Well, this is why we need to consider our confession of faith and its scriptural teaching about the government and our attitude toward it. Let me remind you for a moment of the historic background leading up to the writing of this article. The reformers turned to God's Word. They fully believed that Christ ascended to God's throne and He rules the world today through kings and rulers of His choosing. The reformers taught that those in authority are subject and accountable to Him, and they emphasized the sovereignty of Christ. But the temptation was no different for God's people then, because the Roman Catholic government considered Guido de Bray and his congregation to be troublemakers, and that they themselves were not submissive. And yet in that situation, de Bray made a confession contained in this article about the government. Though the temptation was to rise in rebellion against civil authorities, the Reformed Church held to the teachings of Scripture. This confession did not come easily from the pen of this persecuted minister of the gospel, but de Bray showed his obedience to God and His Word. By the time the copy of this confession came to King Philip of Spain, a cover letter came with it stating that the Reformers were ready to obey the government in all things lawful according to the Word of God. For the Word of God does address both governments and their people. And therefore we want to consider Romans 13 with that theme, civil authorities and civilians. And we'll look at this passage with 2 points. First of all, their calling as rulers, and secondly, our calling as Christians. 2 very basic points, but that's how we'll look at it this afternoon. Consider, first of all, their calling as rulers. This passage that we're looking at speaks primarily about how we are to be subject to governing authorities. And we see that right in the outset of this chapter. Verse 1 of chapter 13 says, "Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities." However, you can already see in the opening line of this particular chapter, in verse 1, the reason for this submission. Why are we to be subject to those in authority? Notice those words. For there is no authority except from who? From God. And the authorities that exist are appointed by God. It's important to note how often Scripture speaks of rulers as those who are appointed by God. They are not placed there in their own power. They are put there according to the Lord's own doing. Notice, for example, how often Paul uses this phrase, God's minister, when he's talking about those in authority. First in verse 4. For He is God's minister for your good. And again in verse 4, for He is God's minister, at the end of that verse, an avenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil. And again he uses it in verse 6, For because of this, you also must pay taxes, for they are God's ministers. You see, the government doesn't spring up out of nothing. They are God's ministers. In other words, God uses kings, prime ministers, premiers, cabinets, judges, police officers, and others to speak and act on his behalf. These men who have civil power and authority have it because there is only one authority, and that authority is God. There's only one authority in the universe, and it's him. The government doesn't spring out of nothing. And so we know that that's even the case for monarchs or ruthless leaders. Nebuchadnezzar, for example, was a ruthless king. He was very brutal in the way that he conquered the world. But according to Scripture, he rose to power and fell from it because God placed him there. And it's the same for us today. We live in what we call a democracy. Our society embraces the principle that governments come from the people. Democracy is the rule of the people, by the people, and for the people. But here we see that God's word contradicts that. For there is no authority except from God. We have to reject the idea that the government derives its authority from the consent of those who are governed. The Lord Jesus Christ has been appointed as ruler and judge. As he himself said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. And therefore all prime ministers, members of parliament, premiers, members of provincial parliament, all mayors, city councillors derive their authority from the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, why did the Lord establish the state and civil authorities? What can we expect from them? Well, Scripture answers this too. They are his ministers appointed to punish evil by the sword. If we didn't have rule and order, then society would wipe itself out. We may not always agree with every decision that is made. We may not always like every politician who is placed into power. However, congregation, bad government is better than no government at all. Bad government is better than no government at all. Human government has been ordained by God to keep evil in check. Now, perhaps you're saying that's all true. But we don't see our government always living up to their calling. Aren't they failing in their duty, in the way that they lead us? Well, we do live in an evil day, and the government doesn't live up to its calling. But just think, what would our lives be like if there was no government at all? How would we function? Well, it would be total anarchy, wouldn't it? There would be no absolute order. Our country, even with all its problems, is a far cry from having no government at all. Yes, Canada does have its failings. And we fall far short of the ideal that God has given us. But we have it better here than in many other countries. It certainly is much better for us with a government than with no government at all. You see, there's a reason behind all of this. Remember, the Lord is the one who created the world. It's his world. Man's fall into sin caused the good order which God had placed in his world to collapse. And man became so wicked. We read from the book of Genesis, God had to send a flood to destroy this world because of the sin, because men were so violent. As we read in our scripture reading in Genesis 9, God promised that he would not destroy the world again with a flood. Instead, he instituted capital punishment. Genesis 9, in God's covenant with creation, we see the beginning of a human government in society. Since the life of man is so valuable to God, he requires that the life of a manslayer must be taken by man. And so even though Genesis 9 doesn't give us a long explanation for human government, we see that it's already there in concept form. It's for that purpose that God has given them the sword to punish those who commit crime and to keep violence and other sins in check. Even though the unregenerate man doesn't believe in God, there is a law that God has placed in the hearts of man. Unregenerate people know something of right and wrong. They know that crime, murder, rape, and theft all need to be punished. God has placed that in the heart of man. And thus, those who he has placed in authority realize that crime, murder, rape, and theft cannot be left unnoticed. They must be punished by the law. They don't realize that this is how the Lord is using them, but that's why God has placed them there, to fulfill their obligation to him. And it's for that reason that government has a huge responsibility. From this passage, we see that they are specifically instructed to uphold God's law. The state must punish murderers because God says that murder is a crime. Notice how Paul very clearly states that in verse 3. He says, "For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to what? They're a terror to evil." And verse 4 says something very similar to that. So they are there, called to uphold the law, uphold rules within society. If you think about the laws in place in order to keep things in good order, you could almost make an endless list of them. We need to have driver's licenses, building permits, licenses to haul hazardous waste, marriage licenses, every kind of license imaginable. There are bylaws for walking our dogs, bylaws for shoveling snow. We must have traffic lights and rules for the road, otherwise people would be colliding with one another. For those of you who work in building, there are building codes and standards. We might not always like that. We might not always agree with the many thousands of laws and different agencies that we have to deal with. Yet without certain laws, we would have chaos. And thankfully, we have laws of order in place, even though we may not like every law. We can be thankful when thieves and murderers are prosecuted. We can be glad when laws are upheld. All these things come by the hand of our gracious God. If we didn't have law and order in the streets, then where would we go if our lives were threatened? How could we be sure that we would have safety from violence and oppression? Well, with law and order, a rapist is less liable to offend since he's restrained by the threat of punishment. In the same way, a thief is less liable to steal. We can be thankful for all these things because with them, we are able to survive as a society. We should be very thankful for this instead of complaining about what we have. We have it better in our country than in many other places. At the same time, we see paganism on the rise and Christianity on decline. And we ought to be dismayed when our government allows for the murder of unborn children and condones adultery and promotes the gay and lesbian agenda. We can be and should be appalled by the breakdown of our society. It's a pity that our government does not view man the way our confession does, that man is depraved. Because of their false view of man, we see how man's sin is being permitted instead of being punished and restrained. However, let us take comfort in the fact that, as Romans 13 says, there is no other authority apart from God. He is in control, and His ministers of justice are accountable to Him. Sin and righteousness should bother us. It should move us to speak out against it. And it should move us to take action where we can. We must not sit on our hands. There is an anti-Christian agenda, and we're feeling it more and more. But ultimately, our government congregation is accountable to God. When they fail to live up to the responsibility, they are answerable to Him. But let us not forget the place that God gave them, because He cares for this world. Without the police, without the courts, without the government which wields the sword, this world would be a much more evil place than it is. It's all given to us in the goodness of the Lord. And so we therefore see that there is a responsibility that is placed upon those in authority. But that leads us to see, secondly, our calling as Christians. Since God has placed them over us, we are to be subject to them. And the words here, to be subject, in your English text, mean to obey. It means to place yourself under them. And there are very similar words in 1 Peter chapter 2. It speaks in the same way. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to the king as supreme or to governors, as to those who are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who do good. And so we are called by Scripture to submit to any authority, whether it's rulers, whether it's teachers, young people, whether it's those who are placed over us, like parents. We are to submit ourselves to all those who God has placed over us in authority. Now, what exactly does that submission look like? Does it mean we submit in every occasion? Well, it does mean that we obey the rulers in everything, but we only obey them as long as it agrees with the Word of God. And the Bible is filled with examples of those who feared God before they feared the king. Children, think of the book of Exodus. Pharaoh told the Hebrew midwives to kill all the baby boys who were born to the Israelites. But they didn't obey Pharaoh, but they followed God. And for that, they were blessed. You remember Daniel and his three friends in Babylon. They were called by the king to bow before the image, and they refused to do that because God's word says we're to worship Him, worship the Lord, and Him alone. They feared the Lord. We think of Daniel and his prayers. He prayed to the Lord three times a day, even though it was against the law. They feared the Lord. And the same is true for us. We must submit ourselves to the authorities and obey only when it is not against the Word of God. You might be wondering to yourself, how can you do that when the government is corrupt? There is no doubt that we have immoral politicians in Ottawa. Some of them condone sodomy. Others approve the taking of unborn life through abortion. We know that there is corruption there. We know that there's corruption at times in the police force, as this comes out in the news from time to time. We don't even practice capital punishment anymore as a country, which is what the sword was meant for, to take the lives of those who committed murder. Well, the Apostle Paul was not ignorant of this when he wrote these words. He knew of the corruption of Pilate, who deliberately condemned the Lord Jesus Christ and washed his hands in innocence. He also would have been familiar with Herod, who called his daughter to dance lewdly before him and the other men. And for that favor, Herod beheaded John the Baptist. And what about Nero, the Roman emperor who killed Christians? The Apostle Peter lived during the time when Nero was the ruler. And he told God's people, he told the church, honor the king. There's no doubt that there have been very wicked rulers throughout the history of the world. Paul and the apostles were by no means unaware of these things when they wrote these commands. And so how are we to be subject to them even when they are corrupt? Well, there are four things that are mentioned in our confession of faith. For one thing, it says we are to pray for those in authority. That is an express command of God. We think of what Paul said to Timothy in 1 Timothy 2. Therefore, I exhort, first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. We don't like what we see in our politicians. Instead of complaining, we have to pray. Pray that they may change. Pray for their salvation. The Bible calls us to pray in church, in public prayers, for those who are in authority. Because if we don't do a congregation, who else will? Who else can make a difference in the life of our country? It's only God's people. When we pray, and we need to do that, we need to pray that the government would continue to give us the freedom so that we might lead a quiet and peaceable life, so that they would live up to their responsibility to cause us to worship in freedom and have the Word of God preached freely here in our own country. Children, do you remember the story of Nebuchadnezzar? He was so proud, so full of himself, such an ungodly man. But the Lord brought him to his knees, and he humbled him, and he eventually acknowledged that the Lord is the true God. And that being said, the Belgian Confession very wisely says we're to obey them in all things which are not repugnant to the Word of God. There are limitations to our obedience to them. We have a calling to submit ourselves to them, but not to disobey God. And so, for example, if they command ministers to stop preaching against sodomy, we don't listen to that. We preach the truth. And we're to pray for those who are living this way. We call them to repentance and faith in Jesus Christ, as well as anyone who is living in sin, whether that be adultery or any other sin. We need to be consistent with God's Word. We need to be vigilant in that respect, especially in our day. And we're also to pay our taxes. Jesus said, render to Caesar what is Caesar, and to God what is God's. In our text, Paul teaches this as well in verses 6 and 7. That's how we show that we're subject. And yet we shouldn't complain about this. And we shouldn't lie about this when it comes to paying our taxes either. Don't forget, the government needs money to do the work that the Lord has given them. It costs money to enforce laws. It costs money to promote justice. God's Word says we are to pay our taxes. And when we don't, we're not only sinning against men, we're sinning against the Lord. And last, we are called to honor and respect them. As verse 7 of our passage says, render therefore to all their due, taxes to whom taxes are due, customs to whom customs, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Now that's hard to do when one's office has much to do with the way one conducts oneself. Well, even when we disagree, we're to show respect for the sake of their office. Consider Guido de Bray on this point. That was his testimony right to the end of his life. Debray called upon the church still to honor those in authority, even though he himself was unjustly arrested and he had to face the news. Before his execution, he called on the church to do the same. How much we need to take that into consideration, especially when we write letters to our MPs about our concerns. What kind of witness are we if we do not respect them when voicing our concerns? We're to humbly inform them where there needs to be room for change according to God's word, but to do so with a humble spirit. Because think about then what you speak or write to your MPs. Your attitude is going to come out in the way that you speak to them. Even though it is difficult, we as Christians are still to recognize the place that God has given them. We are still rather to honor them as rulers. Therefore, it is important that we actively speak out. We should write, we should email our Minister of Justice or our local MPs about the issues of the day. We need to ask the government to uphold just laws and not to change them. We're to pray for those in authority, that they would see their sins. But we do this in obedience to God's word, with humility and respect. For they are ministers for good and ministers to punish evil. As 1 Peter says, 1 Peter 1 verse 2, honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, and honor the king. But let us remember, above all, who is in charge. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. We may not always understand why things are so bad in this world. But congregation, all things have their purpose in Christ. And all things are directed for His glory and for His kingdom purposes. All men are called to account to Him. And so let us therefore as Christians follow the Lord and His commands. And may the Lord in His grace renew our country through our witness to the world and through our prayers as well as through our godly conduct. Amen. Let's turn again to the Psalter hymnal, to number 36, based on the words of Psalm 22.